Hey there, it's Scott Brennan. We are back again. Yes, we've been slacking a little bit. We've been kind of off schedule, but I promise you we are back. This episode coming up is just me and Mike Berlew playing some fun games, talking a little gun control, talking a little bit about bears, and talking a little bit about O.J. Simpson. So there's a lot of things in there. Also listen to Mike Berlew and how he is an expert on all things language. But yes, let's go over the sponsors real quick before we get to the podcast. First off, Manskirt Brewing, which we will be going to in the next week or two. They bring the highest quality craft beer to the Hackettstown area. That's Hackettstown, New Jersey, which has become like the beer craft beer mecca in New Jersey lately. Four breweries there. But anyway, visit them in the historic bank building they call home, where you can check out the vault and enjoy one of the delicious beers handcrafted by brewmaster Joe Fisher. You'll recognize him by wearing, because he's the guy wearing the skirt. Yes, a skirt or kilt or a leather kilt. It depends on the day. Manskirt emphasizes classic beer styles that buck current trends while rotating seasonals, keeping things fresh and fun. Check him out on Facebook, on Instagram, Twitter, Manskirt Brewing. Bringing us to another brewery that is near and dear to our heart, and that is, of course, Demented Brewing. If you go back a few episodes, we did a podcast from there. Demented Brewing, located in Middlesex, New Jersey. In Middlesex, New Jersey, they have an awesome tap room. 16 taps available, okay? Almost every Sunday, they come out with a new beer. In fact, this Sunday, they just released Tessera Single Hot Mosaic IPA. And they have Belladonna, Berliner Weiss, being released this Sunday. Coming up, Sucker Punch, an American sour aged in Chardonnay barrels, is going to be released on July 9th for Legion members and July 10th for the public. What's a Legion member? Well, you join and you have first access to all sorts of barrel-aged things, bottled things. You can become part of the Mug Club. So go check them out at DementedBrewing.com. And hopefully I have a project coming up with them that I will announce in the future here. Wolf Nation, how can we forget about Wolf Nation? W-U-L-F Nation, okay? They are an up-and-coming clothing company for men, women, children, dogs, the elderly, your creepy uncle. You can get them a large Wolf Nation sweatshirt. What does Wolf Nation stand for? That is Wake Up, Live Free, okay? Richie from Wolf Nation basically is, you know, the brand stands for, you know, making your own way, tired of living paycheck to paycheck, finding something you are passionate about. And that's what Wolf Nation represents. Check them out on Twitter, on Instagram, at Wolf Nation. Again, that is W-U-L-F Nation. Wake up, live free. Finally, this podcast is brought to you by Trivia Revolution, fueled by craft beer. They bring the best of trivia and craft beer together. They are proud to support the local New Jersey craft beer community. Each week, you can win gift certificates from different sponsors like Beach House or River Horse or Demented or Manskirt, okay, just to name a few. So even if you are in last place, like many of my friends, my dumb friends and my dumb family that come out and come in last place, they still win brewery gift cards sometimes, all right? And if you want to see yours truly hosting, I am now at Tap House 15 every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. So finally, Trivia Revolution, fueled by craft beer. Look for the bonus item each week at TriviaRevolution.com or follow them on Instagram. That's about it, people. Listen to the podcast. Enjoy.
Hey, this is Captain Wild Bill, and you're listening to Verbal Shenanigans. Couple of clowns.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Check one, two.
All right. Whoa.
And
whoa.
Did we start?
Yeah, we started. We just started now.
Oh.
Oh. But,
great opening.
Yeah, it's a great opening. You know, that's always my favorite part.
Yeah.
Coming up with some kind of new opening, like, podcast. You're listening to the Verbal Shenanigans Show. Welcome back.
We're two professionals, man. We're always, everything set up, ready to go, have our notes, and have our guests ready, and all right, we're all set.
Technical difficulties are all worked out, usually.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, welcome back to the show. Mike Berlow, it feels good to be back. We have, I would say the last month or so, kind of been all over the place. We had some equipment malfunctions, which kind of limited the cast. We had to cancel a couple things. I moved, so that kind of like I had stuff all over the place. We kind of been a little bit out of it, but I think we're back and ready to deliver weekly episodes.
You know, it's the summertime. A lot of people getting that little lull and, you know, processes drop here and there. But once you have a little fun, have a couple brewskis in you, you got all the stress out of your system, you get back in your stride, you know, and I think this is where we're going to hit it.
Is that what we're doing? We're getting in our stride now?
Yeah, I think this is the time that we're going to take it to the top.
Right, the stride. This is it. We currently have no guests scheduled for the next couple weeks, so we're hitting our stride now.
Yeah. Yeah. No distractions with those guest things.
No. Yeah. Today we are guestless. I can't even remember the last time we were guestless. It was just me and you, buddy, looking across at each other.
Yeah.
Staring at each other. If you tune into the last episode, well, a couple things to go over here. The last episode we interviewed, I guess we could only call him Kaz. Kaz Pop, and he was a man who was into human pup play.
Yeah.
And I'm sure our loyal audiences wants to know from you, what is the update on your transition to Husky?
Scott, I was never planning on doing that.
Burley, you don't have to do the act, you know, just tell. We like to keep the show truthful, honest.
I am trying to keep it truthful, but telling you that wasn't going to happen.
So yeah, those of you who didn't listen, Michael Berlow finally admitted that he is into pup play and that he's slowly going to be transitioning into
a
Husky.
I'm going to listen to that last podcast.
And,
I don't recall that.
During the week, we even had some contact with Kaz. He contacted us on Twitter. He's like, oh, I wanted to know how Berlow's doing.
I will say I did enjoy the little back and forth and with him and the one story we talked about when I had an impromptu spot in Somerset with Rocco Romeo and their summer series. I was getting ready for my set, and I turn over, and in this shop is a mannequin with a dog mask wearing rainbow shorts with suspenders and a wacky T-shirt.
Yeah, it's just convenient that you were there. I get it. But anyway, go ahead.
It was just interesting, and, you know, we shared it with Kaz Pop, and all he can say is, ugh, those shorts.
Yeah,
those are the biggest
thing. The best is in his messages where it's like, blah, 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 and they put, like, dot, dot, wag, dot, dot, bark. I guess he takes his pup play pretty seriously. But I hope life as a Husky has been treating you well.
It hasn't started, and it won't.
No, I don't know about that. I remember, like, immediately after that, I see pictures of you on Facebook with puppies and things like that. So
you always see me with pictures with puppies. So,
yeah.
I mean,
it's starting. But yeah, if you've just tuning into the show now, go back to the last episode. It's a pretty fun interview. Side note, brother, we haven't really talked even since the whole Orlando thing. We haven't even talked on the mic for. I know it's a couple weeks late, but we did try kind of a last minute thing. Not really a last-minute thing, but I reached out to Aaron Is from Ink Master. He was doing on Monday, he did basically like 60 tattoo shops across the country. Even some in Scotland were like offering tattoos, and all the money was going to the families of the Orlando shooting. And I did that impromptu interview with him. If you check that out, you can still donate to it, but I didn't get the numbers yet of what he did that day, but it was a pretty cool event. And we're also trying to put on a very large comedy show to go to the same cause.
Yeah.
I don't really want to get too into it, but it should be at a very cool place, a large place, Starland Ballroom, which is a huge concert.
I think you gave away a hint.
Yeah. But I'm not going to go over dates and anything or acts. I know we have one confirmed act so far. It's Mike Berlow.
I can't wait for my 60-minute set, man. I've been working it out last night. I think I've got up to a solid 4.
Yeah, but I will tell you, the people we teamed up with, we are reaching out to the biggest of the big that are around Jersey and New York, so we'll see. So it'll be Mike Berlow, Doug Max, me.
Melissa Allen.
Yeah, we're gonna fill up the Starland Ballroom, which I think holds about 600 people. But we will do that. But yeah, the whole Orlando thing is just, you know, I mean, I said it a few times on both my little intro and with Aaron. I find the whole thing is so frustrating. Like, I'm really starting to like get to the point where I can't stand Facebook anymore. It's like the opinions and the shit people put up is like, oh my god, like I almost long for pictures of dogs and food and funny pictures. Like, as soon as that shooting happened, within a day, people are putting up memes about how it's Obama's fault and what Trump did and what hell. Meanwhile, like, there were still people who weren't even identified yet. The family still didn't even know, and people are using it as like a platform. And whether you were, I don't know how it became political all of a sudden. Like, yeah, let the tears dry first before we start getting into that. You know, like,
well, with this social networking the way it is, everybody figures the second something happens, it's like, wait a minute. I know the answer. I'm going to put up my opinion, and that's it. Drop the subject. It's not even any kind of conversation. The second somebody goes on to a conversation, it's either the responder or the person who put on the post. No, shut up, blah, blah, blah. There's so many factors involved in it. Obviously, there's guns, there's religion, there's homophobia.
Homosexuality.
There's so many security. There's so many things to dive into it. You need to look at the full picture instead of just blatantly going, oh, here's a meme, and the AR-15 didn't kill him. It was the person, and Muslims were...
Assault rifle.
We got to stop Muslims from coming in, even though the guy was a legal citizen here.
Like, where do you stand on the whole gun thing? I find myself, like, floating between both sides sometimes. Like, I think both sides make some valid points. Like, I am personally not a gun guy. Like, guns kind of scare me a little bit. Like, and I'm not really into guns. I've shot guns. I think I told the story. We went for a bachelor party. We went to gun range and shot a Desert Eagle and an AK and all that stuff. And to me, like, there's always this thought in the back of my head, like, someone could just go there and rent this and turn around and just blow everyone away. You know, like, I'm not a big fan of guns in the house, but I'm also, like, completely okay with people hunting. Like, I don't really care about people target shooting. But then the other side of me is, like, torn. Like, sometimes I think people who buy, like, these guns, in the deep, dark back of their mind, they want to use them. Like, there's a thought that I want to use this, or I want to have the opportunity to pull this out on someone. But I'm also, like, I'm very, like, down with people's rights to have this. Like, I get torn between... It's one of those things where I don't really post any, like, opinions on stuff like this. Because I don't know if I actually have my ironed out, like, buttoned down opinion. Like, where do you stand?
Guns in the house, 100% for. This is your property. You own it. Somebody comes into your property trying to take something or harm somebody in your house, you have every right to defend yourself. Permits to bring guns on the streets, I'm kind of torn. I lean more towards I'm against it versus pro. But at the same sense, I say that I won't stop anybody from any states. Like, for example, my dad carries a gun in Georgia. I'm not going to go, Dad, it's not right.
He's taking that Walking Dead thing.
You never know. Coral.
Michael.
Yeah. It's one of those, like, I think the states, what the laws are right now, it fits them. So I'm not going to say, well, they should change in either direction. So Jersey, where you're not allowed to carry, I think we should keep it that way. Our neighboring state, Pennsylvania, they seem to be working out fine with the carry clause. I say go right ahead. As for any kind of automatic weapons, I'm totally for banning personal usage, owning any kind of automatic weapons. I've always come to the conclusion that if you need that gun to defend yourself against somebody, you're going to die.
Yeah.
Because anybody, just a stray couple people coming into your house, you can use a regular, you know, gun, just pop, 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 scare them, or if you have to go for the shot, so be it. If you're literally saying there's going to be a scenario where there's going to be enough people or you need an automated weapon to shoot out 40 bullets in X amount of seconds, it comes down to, in that scenario, you're going to die because anybody who's that desperate to get to you is going to have enough people and enough guns to kill you anyway.
One thing that always scares me with all these, like, terrorist attacks and gun talk and all that, I'm a firm believer if someone wants to do something like that, it is nearly impossible to stop it.
Yeah.
Okay. Because when you take the fear aspect of losing your life, because that's what holds anybody back from doing certain things, is I could get hurt or die, or I don't, you know, like I really fucking hate that person, but, you know, like you don't go out and kill them, you know, there's that guilt. But once you take away the fear that your life isn't, like, that's part of the experience is shooting people, mm-hmm. then you die or kill yourself, it is almost impossible to stop that. This guy didn't have guns. He could have walked around with a machete and just hacked people. He could make an explosive. You know, like, I think it's so hard to stop any of this kind of stuff, and that's what's really scary, especially, like, terrorism kind of things. Mm-hmm. If people want to go and if they're under the thought that this is what's supposed to happen, that they're not...
Yeah.
The fear of death is, like, the scariest thing. When that's gone, you get, like, kamikaze pilots. How do you stop that? You know, like, back in the war, you know? So that's what always frightens me.
Well, I will say, and I'm not sure how this sounds, but I've almost gotten numb to all these scenarios. I don't get shocked when I hear somebody took a gun and shot up anything. The Orlando, the church in North Carolina, Columbine, and any of that stuff. Like, when it happens, I see the CNN alert, I'm just like, oh, and I'll go over to somebody, huh, did you hear? And it's not that I don't feel bad for the people. I'm just so used to...
You just want to get back to injustice.
Yeah.
You interrupted Wonder Woman versus Batman. By the way, that I may forfeit on that challenge. It's so bad. I'm like on level 15, and I'm like, it doesn't move after a while. You got to win like 900 matches to advance to the next level. But anyway.
Yeah, but...
thanks for that one.
I guess my point... I'm just so numb to seeing these things, and I just sit back and wait for the next one, and I feel bad for the people. I'm going to give to the Orlando Fund. I'm going to, if somebody had a family member who got injured or hurt, I would help them out in any way, but when it happens, I'm just like, huh, another one.
Yeah, that's what's sad, that it's happened this many times, where you do have that feeling, like, oh, man, what's next? Like, next one's going to be bigger and worse, and, you know, like, it's like the gay community, you know, like, I feel so bad for them, you know, it's like, because it not only, it's a terrorist attack slash hate crime, you know, and I was thinking, someone brought up a good point, you imagine being, like, you're the father of one of those kids, and that kid never came out to you yet. He was afraid of it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how you find out, you know, like he was in that club or something like that, and mm-hmm. you didn't even know. You know, like the guilt and the, you know, like, I don't know, like that kind of thing is shocking. Hey, and I'm sure that happened.
I'm sure it has, and I know what you're saying. I mean, I could just imagine after that happens, you start thinking back, well, he or she was acting weird here and there, and when we talk about this or joke about that, they act like this. And it's always going to be a tough area because you're always going to have some people. I mean, one spot we didn't talk about was religion, where, I mean, there's a question.
I think that's
of,
one of the major problems, if yeah. not the biggest problem.
I mean, that's why, for example, I'm not a huge religion guy, but I'll give props to Tim Tebow. He is the uber Christian of uber Christians. Always been a stand-up nice guy. Now, according to parts of the Bible, it's like, oh, man can't lay with man, so you gotta hate it, blah, blah, blah. Apparently, he had a teammate that was in that building who got injured, and he was doing stuff in the Bahamas. He took a special trip, go down to Florida, and he visited a guy, and he's yeah. checking up on him and see how he's doing. That's the point of religion. Now, when you sit back and you go, well, it says this and I'm against it, it's fine to say, well, in my religion, that's how it stands and I can't condone it, but you don't condone the human being that's
yeah.
it.
You know, it's like the shootings and things like that, it just is such a... All it does is divide the country more. Yeah, like people come together for good causes. Like, I think the cause we're supporting is an insanely good cause, but... Again, the social media aspect of things is driving me nuts. Like I want this election to be over so bad mm-hmm. because I don't. First off, at this point, I don't care. I'm not going to be voting for either one of those two idiots. Second, I'm just tired. Like people I like I can't even read their stupid posts every day. Like Obama, the Trump, the dead. You know, it's like I don't care either way. I think both people are upset. And I think with the religion thing, like.
the election and politics, it's almost become like a religion. Like, these people are so devout to one side, they can't see past it. You know, and like, the religion is the cause of this thing. Supposedly this guy was a homosexual or had these tendencies, and meanwhile he's probably struggling with his religion, which tells him it's so wrong, and these people are brainwashing him, and the only way for him to get rid of it is have this mass shooting. You know, like, it's just, there's so many sad parts of the whole thing. It's just atrocious. But I'm so close to, if it wasn't for like the importance of social media with like comedy, like networking people and sending messages, I don't know if I would have Facebook anymore.
Well, it changed from just, hey, we can get together and discuss, to this is my platform, hear it.
Yeah, like, this whole country was built on compromise. Like, you know, people debating things, and the right, you have the right to not agree with me. Like, that's what makes this great. You know, like, you have the right to see something in a different way. And like, I would hate, like, even like celebrities and musicians and politicians these days, you can't go on social media. Like, you just want to kill yourself. You read what people say and like how harsh people are. It's like, you know, like, think about all these presidents back in the day. Like John F. Kennedy, he was like a radical, like, in some ways. Like, he had a lot of like different opinions that were like way against the norm back then. Like, nowadays he would just be crucified by once. I think the internet has definitely made it, you're either this or that, and then there's the people in the middle, of course. But yeah, it's you. There's no more like, Burley, you know, I didn't vote for you, but we're still going to work together and try to,
what,
you know, go for it. Now I'm going to be completely against you. Now, we know
typical one Jewish person.
One person we both know, she's a super Trump fan. Spells everything wrong. It just does
horrible punctuation.
Horrible punctuation. Her posts make no sense. She'll post about Obama when it's like some story that has nothing to do with him, and makes it about politics, and like, that kind of thing is just so annoying. She's like almost religious to a point. Like,
and then you go onto the site, and all it is 8,000 pop-up ads, and you're like, well, what the hell is it? Ah, there's proof right there. It's like, I can't find it. It's like 12 people come onto the site. You're saying that's your news source?
I like Obama, man. I think if this was his second term coming up, he would be revered a lot more. Like, I feel like he's finally, in these last 2 years, finding his voice a little bit and not taking himself so seriously. You see some of the things he did with like Jimmy Fallon and
Having a blast,
and he's been way more like, this is my opinion, like, this is what I want. Like, I feel like, first off, I feel like anybody who gets in is not gonna do anything because it's so divided, but I feel like he's finally just you know, he seems like a genuine, good family man and guy. Whether you agree with him on things or not, as a person, he seems like a good person. Whereas these two monsters, I don't think either of them are good people.
No. I mean, you've seen how both sides, Republicans and the Democrats, are all both kind of like, I don't know about this. I mean, I would say Obama was probably in my lifetime the third best president. He wasn't great, but he wasn't bad, and I think some of the stuff that he did down the line will lead to great stuff. I don't think Obamacare is that good right now.
It was rushed.
It was kind of one of those, they knew Republicans were going to take over the House or Senate, and they had to get it in. I think when the two sides work together 20 years from now, it's going to be amazing. And when they ever work together. Yeah. I mean, lately it's just been embarrassing as of late. I mean, gay marriage down his side. I forget where it was at. Somewhere at a national park, they're going to have a LGBT monument for him. And he just basically said, they're part of this culture, our culture. They're a part of our lives. They're everywhere.
Like a tavern or something, or a hotel that they hung. Like, it was a big gathering place for that in the '60s and
'70s. Yeah, there. It'd say, let's recognize history. Let's bring them into community. Let's work together. Let's stop going this, oh, it's so taboo, gays and lesbians. Ooh, I know.
It's just like beating a dead horse. I still can't believe we're even talking about that anymore. When it comes to elections, and we're worried about gay people. Really? Really?
Yeah, I'm probably going to do either Gary Johnson just to try to get libertarians up to 15% so there's a third choice for the next time, or Zoltan.
You sure you don't want to vote for Amy Jo Wehmeyer?
Barbara Jo Wehmeyer. Yeah, I actually I sent you some links. Samantha Bee, they sent their crew down to the Libertarian convention. It's One guy stripped naked there. One guy basically is just saying, what do you mean we need driver's licenses? What's next? You need a license to use a toaster? And they are way out there. I sent you one screenshot. Cecil actually ranked in the votings for one. I think it was Missouri.
Cecil with three different names.
Yeah, he's still in the basement somewhere. Oh, I'm going to get that rock concert, raise the money. We should bring him to Starland.
Oh, yeah. I speaking of presidents, I actually reached out to Teddy Roosevelt to try to get him on real quick with the COPA going on. Good show for the U.S., shifting gears a little bit. There's only so much I can talk about politics without wanting to throw up.
Yeah.
Good showing for the U.S., Copa America. They lost to Argentina, no shame in that. A little shame in the way they played.
Yeah, that was a little bit of an ass-whooping. It's kind of like, oh, that's adorable you hear. Yeah. Let me show you how soccer works.
Yeah, let me show you how many years you guys are behind from even coming up. But Klinsmann needed he needed a good performance. Honestly, I was ready to give up on him. At a certain point, because the last year and a half, ever since post-World Cup, the U.S. has been horrific looking under him, and he changes formations every time, and he changes personnel every time, and they looked really good after the first game of the Copa. The other three, they looked awesome. So, but it's a fun tournament. It's fun that the Euro Cup and this are going on. It feels like the World Cup. You know, there's so much soccer to watch. Which is good for me, but I tried to get Teddy Roosevelt on, but he was a little busy. I saw him on TV the other night, and I was like, oh, it's Teddy. You know, like,
When I was tweeting out during the game, I remember on one girl's page, she's like, did I really see Teddy Roosevelt in the stands last night?
And yes, you did.
Yeah, you sent her that. So even MLS has been pretty good. Philadelphia Union are actually showing up, and they're pretty decent. And even Marcelo Balboa's Colorado Rapids. They're in first place. They had the most points. Both teams were one of the two of the worst teams in MLS last year, and they got their game up.
Yeah. So you got soccer going on. That's another thing you talk about tweeting. Like, as far as promoting the podcast, first off, Facebook is pretty much absolutely useless at this point. It's so aggravating, the stupid algorithm or whatever. Like on the fan page, I posted that Aaron Is thing, like, with a charity, and it's like one people person. Reached like 13 people. I'm like, really? If 300 people like our page or whatever it is, why can't the 300 people see that? You know, like, what is wrong with, I don't know. It's just so, and I was talking to Joe Fernandez yesterday about it, how frustrating it is. Like, they've pretty much eliminated anything with a link or anything that's not like they're part of. They don't let you promote anything anymore.
It's the same thing with Twitter. Like I said, I mean, you've been getting on me to do some more tweeting, and I've been trying to help as much as I can, but it's just so frustrating. You'll tweet for like an hour, 2 hours. I'll use different hashtags. I'll do anything possible. And then when I wake up the next morning and look at listens, I see two listens. And I'm like, even if I got 1%, I should have had like 10 people listen to the show.
Very frustrating, especially since our last like 2 months, we've been on fire with the guests, man, whether it's the Goatman or Jim Paplinski or Human Pup or all the recent ones have been like really awesome.
Tonight, not so much.
Yeah. I was doing like a little reflecting on like some of our past guests today. I was like, you know, like sometimes I even forget about stuff. I'm like, oh, yeah. Like the other day I was hosting trivia and one of the questions was about the Jamaican bobsled team. I'm like, oh, yeah. You know, like you kind of forget sometimes some of the people we've been able to talk to.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
It's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, you know. So, you know, I like all things Bears. I just wanted to, I don't know if you saw this. Did you see the walking bear in New Jersey?
No, I didn't.
The bear's name is Petals. Okay, P-E-D-A-L. Let's not show it to you.
Oh.
So, now this is a bear, okay, that walks upright.
Okay,
like straight up on its hind leg. So this is Petals is alive and kicking. The bipedal, that's where they get it. Okay. Bipedal, I guess that's how you say it. That walks on its hind legs was spotted in New Jersey in December with many animal lovers worrying it wouldn't make it through the winter. But Wednesday, Petals took a stroll through Oak Ridge, which is probably 25 minutes from here, Woodland Trail, and caught it all on camera. Look at this. Look at how insane this is. Look at this. There's the bear straight up walking.
It literally looks walking. Like a guy in a bear suit walking around.
It's insane.
Doop, 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 doop. Hey, Martha, how's it going? Just me and the bear.
It's the bear is on his hind legs, hands out like a human.
Yeah.
Walking through the woods.
He looks like he's speed walking. Like he looks like some middle-aged woman on the street.
It is unbelievable. The amount of bear videos that have come out of Jersey in the last year and a half. The ones in Rockaway with the pool. The ones with the bear fight in the middle of the, the street. That was insane. You know, like, look at this thing.
He's just walking in the backyard.
Look how amazing that is. If now think about before cameras and like stuff. If you just like moved it, you would think that was Bigfoot.
Yeah.
You know, like if you saw him walking from far distance, like holy shit, Bigfoot's real. Yeah.
Like back in the day, like we would hear about this from some dude in the bar.
Yeah, like,
you don't know anything, man. 4 years ago, I was in my backyard, and a big bear came down. And he was walking like a human. I swear.
It's true. It's freaking crazy. Like, first off, it's just, look at him go. Look at him. He just stands up and goes.
I mean, I wonder what happened. I wonder if it's something with, like, his bone structure that
his
it's easier.
Front paws messed up.
I don't know. I mean, wonder how in nature. It
pedals the injured bipedal bear, so it must be injured.
Gotcha.
It's just amazing. Just amazing. Like, I'm just going to start a once-a-month bear cast.
You keep a bear journal, I'll keep a pup journal.
Barlow, we got one listen. Turns out the bear audience is not as demanding.
Oddly enough, it was the bear itself. He walked up to his computer, just chimed. He listened for 5 minutes, and then he
Our
shut
luck
it down.
We'll just get a bunch of hairy gay people.
Yeah, we got a really interesting audience right now. We got hairy gay men. We got guys in dog suits outside. We should have really thought about our advertising.
Bearcast, the fundraiser for Orlando, AJ Mattioli, the pup. I think we're going in a different direction.
Yeah. If the gays listen, I'm not going to complain.
Absolutely. We're still trying to set up you getting in drag.
Yeah, that's true.
I have to follow up on that. But yeah, Bearcast. What's funny is we already had one episode almost completely devoted to bears a couple months ago. Remember we were supposed to go to that bear sanctuary, and I think I pissed the guy off by emailing him too many times.
Bear sanctuaries and Sean Kemp will not come on Verbal Shenanigans thanks to Scott Brennan.
Listen, you've pissed off the firefighters. You pissed off the person who hunted Bigfoot and their son vanished or something like that. There was someone else. I think there was three you pissed off, but I can't remember.
I'm trying to remember. Yeah, I do it so well. They all just combine into one.
Now, Burley, you are a, you know, when I think of you, I think of like a language expert.
Yeah.
You know, like you're very, just so well spoken and well thought out and you know, just so educated. It's the worst setup I've ever done.
Great segue, Scott.
That's
so there's the bear standing up. So Berlu, your language.
That's how I like to do it. You know, it's just like my intros. They're so fake. And so just awful. I was thinking the other day, you know, like where we have sayings like don't throw rocks in glass houses. But like you ever think about where some of the sayings come from?
Some were kind of weird. Like when I was growing up, one big thing my dad used to say is he used to tell me you're slower than molasses in January. I had no idea who was the first guy who came up with that little fun nugget.
What's even better is that your dad realized you were slow.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, you are such a language expert that I thought maybe I'm going to give you a term that I don't really know.
All right.
And you're going to explain to me
how
it started, you know. Yeah. And then maybe we'll look at the real version of
Sounds
it.
Good.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. All right. Like, for instance, you've heard the term bite the bullet before, right? You know, like, that usually means, like, you gotta, like, do it. You know, you gotta just do what you gotta do. But you know where this came from, so go ahead and just tell the audience.
Yeah, it started in South Dakota around 1954. You know, they were at a small bar. It was, I believe the guys' names were James Hodgkins and Peter O'Toole.
Peter O'Toole, yes.
Yeah. So they were in a bar. It's one of those boring nights. The guys are getting drunk, and they were doing, like, bar games, you know, a little small bets.
Really?
Yeah. So, you know, one guy would be like, I pay you $5 if you take a dart to your chest, you know. So the guy would go, you're on, you go up to the dart board, somebody would grab a dart, plunk them in the chest, boom, it's $5. And they would go back and forth and all. One guy's like, I dare you to streak around the nun's house and all, because there's a lot of
nuns.
Where does
biting the bullet come in?
Well, it was like one of the last things. Story. Yeah. So they're going back and forth on these bets. Eventually they came to one where he's like, one guy talked about how, you know, if you bite into a bullet, it's going to explode. And he's like, God, shut the hell up. That's total BS. And all. He's like, I bet you $20 that it will explode. And he's like, you're on. So the guy handed over the 20, and Peter was the one who was supposed to bite down
on it. I'm going to bite the bullet in a minute if the story doesn't end.
I'm sorry. You didn't give me a time limit on it. Usually I get a light when I'm on stage.
So
he handed over the 20, and the guy was a little tentative to do it. And he's like, come on, Peter, you got to bite the bullet. And that was the phrase that went on for generation. What? Wow. I guess they really like my story out there.
Yeah, yeah. There's people fishing outside. The new place is right on the water. I never knew that, Michael. Thank you for clearing that up for me. But
there's a longer story if you want.
Turns out you were wrong.
Oh, okay.
apparently, this I thought was interesting. The history of that saying, there was no time to administer anesthesia before emergency surgery during battle.
Oh.
The surgeon made patients bite down on the bullet in an attempt to distract them from the pain.
Hmm. I like my story better.
Yeah.
You too. Yeah.
Yeah. I liked it. How about blood is thicker than water? Blood is thicker. Now, I don't really know what it means. I know that it means like your family and your close friends are more important, mm-hmm. but maybe you can clear it up for our audience where that actually came from.
Well, that was actually back in the 1600s, okay. Scott. What basically happened was, as you know, they don't have like modern cleaning equipment like we do nowadays.
Like Windex. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Breeds. So, you know, they would have to come up with different ways in old age Europe to clean off stuff. So they would try different things and so forth. So when you had a bad stain, you had to try to find the best product to, you know, really dive into the stain.
Uh-huh.
So it was Dr. Hugo Mongoles who basically came up with a solution of cleaning with a combination of
Hugo
blood
Mongo,
and some...
The Hugo Mongoles.
Yes, yes. I tried to get him on the podcast. Apparently, he's been dead for 400 years.
Right.
But he was the one who actually tested the concentrations of different liquids, and he actually came up with a clean solution that involved human blood. And when they asked him why is that, he informed people, well, blood is thicker than water.
Wow. That's pretty fascinating, actually. But
was I right?
It turns out you're wrong.
Oh. I'm shocked.
In ancient Middle Eastern culture, blood rituals between men symbolized bonds that were far greater than those of family. The saying also has to do with blood brothers, because warriors who symbolically shared the blood they shed in battle together were said to have stronger bonds than biological brothers.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder who told me that other story.
Here's a good one.
Okay.
Here's a good one. I really liked this one. You know, when you butter someone up? You butter them up. I'm like, mm-hmm. Michael, you're a really funny comedian. Michael, that set was great.
Mm-hmm.
The people walking out were just, they couldn't handle it anymore. They were laughing so hard.
Yeah.
That guy threw something at you because he wanted you to sign it. You know, like, you know, when I'm buttering you up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't really know where that started, but you do, correct?
Yeah. It started in the Amish country.
Amish country.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because in the Amish country, they don't have any kind of currency.
Right.
So, you know, the biggest bigwigs of the Amish culture were paid in butter. And
now, what defines a bigwig in the Amish culture?
Well, you know, it depends. It's how many years they've gone without electricity. It's
So the more you go without it, the you have more ranking.
Exactly. You know, like some guys, like when they're 10, they had like one of those Tecmo Bowl, those miniature games. It's like you got to put that down and you start at zero.
Right. So, you know, what would I do without bringing you on? You just impart knowledge on me.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that Michael Burlow expert is going to be a recurring bit, possibly. Go ahead. Butter you up.
But yeah, so some ways when you know that the elder statesmen are on their way out, you try to become the next one in line to be the bigwig of the Amish.
Oh.
So they would try to pay off these people, and since they have no currency, the biggest thing they have in the Amish culture is butter. So, you know, some guy would come up to the bigwig Amish and say, I'd really like to be the leader after you pass. You know, here's a couple pounds of butter. So they were complimenting him and buttering him up.
Wow. It turns out you were 100% correct.
Really?
No. Oh. This is crazy, though. An ancient Indian custom involving throwing balls of clarified butter at statues of gods to seek favor.
Oh.
So you throw butter at a statue, which is almost as ridiculous as the story you just came up with.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know why my facts are so off tonight.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, yeah.
It's been
a couple of weeks since we podcast. So.
I don't know, cat got your tongue?
Ah.
Cat got your tongue? You know, like, that usually means, like, something said when a person has, you can't think of something to say.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I never really knew where this came from, but you do.
Yeah, you know, remember that old story about the kid crying wolf? There's actually a similar story in Western Africa about some of the tribal men who would make up fibs to the tribe with different situations. But as you know, in Africa, there are very dangerous animals as dangerous cats, lions and tigers and so forth.
Right.
So sometimes when they make up these lies, the way the tribe gets back to them is they'll go out on a hunt and they really won't inform the person they're leading them out there to the cats. So as the lions or cheetahs are attacking the person, they would come up with this term. I think it was something like Nakuta Wutabma, which loosely translates to cat got your tongue.
What was it again? Like, let me just put it into Google Translator. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, can you write that phonetically for me so that can be the name of the episode?
Okay.
Turns out you are wrong again.
It made sense in my head.
There are two possible sources to this. Maybe three. Oh. That's why.
Yes. Yeah.
You know. The first refers to it, Cat O' Nine Tails, a whip used by the English Navy for flogging.
Oh.
The whipping boy. The whip caused so much pain that the victims were left speechless. The second refers to the practice of cutting out the tongues of liars and blasphemers and feeding them to cats.
Yeah. Like my story I told you in Western Africa.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, maybe let's do two more here, because you are fascinating.
Thank you.
You are. You know, we could save a bunch of these for a later time, but here's one of my favorite ones.
All right.
My sister-in-law and I were having this conversation. One of the weirdest expressions I always thought was throwing the baby out with the bathwater.
Mm.
Which I always thought was a very morbid description, like throwing a baby out with bathwater. Mm-hmm. Now, that usually means to, like, hang on to valuable things when getting rid of unnecessary things.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I don't really understand where that came from.
Well,
this is one that's really been, like, irking me. So can you please, for the thousands of listeners we have, clarify this?
Well, that starts in Europe during the plague.
Right.
So as you know, during that phase, they weren't really medically inclined. They didn't really know what causes the plague. So there was some very scary times. So when you had to move out of an area filled with plague, you had to make decisions in life. And one of the sadder things is some believe that the plague came from the local water. So at times, when they come to this realization, if they have their child bathing, they realize, well, we can't bring the child with us because he's infected with the plague and we're going to get it. So basically what they would do is just leave the child and move to another country where they basically threw the baby out with the bathwater.
Right. That was something right there.
Thank you.
Turns out you're wrong again.
What?
Is
there something wrong with your internet?
During the 1500s, most people bathed once a year. Once a year. Even when they did bathe, the entire family used the same tub full of water.
Mm-hmm.
The man of the house bathed first, followed by other males, then females, and finally the babies. You can imagine how thick and cloudy the water became by that time. So the infants' mothers had to take care not to throw them out with the bathwater when they emptied the tub.
Yeah, during the plague.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Let's do one more.
All right.
I'm going to let you choose. We got two expressions here. Eating humble pie or giving the cold shoulder?
Definitely giving the cold shoulder.
Oh, sure. Definitely. Yeah. And you know that eating the cold shoulder is like a rude way of telling someone that you're not welcome or you're ignoring them. Often what I try to do to you, but you break through those walls. No problem. But I don't know where this is coming from. So please tell me.
Well, that happened in parts of Russia.
Russia?
Yes.
Okay.
This is how far we're going back. During the Cold War, what basically would happen is they would have to choose their allies very well because of the limited resources that they have with all the propaganda going on.
Naturally.
And so forth. So there was a lot of issues where people were proclaiming people were spies and so forth.
Really?
Yes. So what would basically happen is they would basically call out this person to the government, and the government would take them and take them to the most northern parts of Russia, which are some of the coldest places on Earth, like Siberia.
Mm-hmm.
So by them pleading with them, no, don't tell about me, don't talk to me about the government like this.
Right.
They'd be like, I'm sorry, you're a spy, I have nothing to do with you, I'm going to give you the cold shoulder.
Wow, that's really fascinating. It turned out it's completely wrong, but
I don't see how.
Although giving someone the cold shoulder today is considered rude, it was actually regarded as a polite gesture in medieval England, not Russia. England. After a feast, the host would let guests know it was time to leave them by giving them a cold piece of meat from the shoulder of beef, mutton, or pork. That, ladies and gentlemen, is Mike, the verbal expert, I guess we can call you.
Yeah, yeah.
Historian.
I would Google those facts, Scott. I think they're highly
incorrect.
I think
the name of the segment is Michael the Retarded Historian.
I think I prefer man pub versus retarded.
Michael the Retarded Historian. I like it. But anyway, thanks for enlightening us. We'll definitely bring that back. I got tons of them.
Can't wait.
What do you got, Mike?
Have you ever heard about something tragic and just something about the story just made you laugh your ass off and you can't stop laughing about it?
Probably, yes.
Yeah. This is kind of the story I wanted to get to. Dad tried reviving daughter left in hot car by putting her in the refrigerator.
He was giving her the cold shoulder.
Yeah. So the basic synopsis of the story is the father had the child, took the kid home, totally forgot he had the child, went to bed, woke up 3 hours later, realized the kid was in the car the entire time, found it dead, and his first thought to try to get the baby back.
It's like reverse osmosis.
Yeah. It was by putting it in the refrigerator.
Right.
And this is a horrible and tragic story, but I can't stop laughing because all I can think about is like a wacky sitcom where like the mother comes home and the father's like, oh, hey, how's it going, honey? How's it going? And like a hand sticking out of the fridge. He's got to open it and throw it back in. And
yeah. Yeah. See, I find more hilarity in him like going to the fridge and having to like clear out the Gatorade and clear out the lunch meat, you know, like to make room for this child.
Honey, I'm making lunch for you. Look at all the stuff I put out here.
Yeah, like clear.
Okay, this is wonderful. I'm going to get the mustard. No, no, no. I'll get it for you. You sit down. You sit down.
I'm clearing the spot for the.
I got this. Like,
baby. Yeah, yeah, that's pretty bad. That's pretty bad.
Like, I don't know what would be more amazing, that he thought it would work or if it actually worked. Like all the scientists that would have to come to his house to examine the fridge.
That'd be great. You know, like, it'd be like, you know, like when you freeze someone and they come back. Like in the movies, you know, and they come back to life. But I guess it's the opposite. You're actually going from hot to cold.
Yeah, he's just like, if I cool the baby down, maybe I'll reverse death.
Now, was this like an infant or like a young child? Like 2-3-year-old?
6-month-old.
Oh, yeah. I guess they couldn't really get themselves out of that car.
Oh,
no. It just proves to you that some people, there's no reason for them to breed. There's no reason.
No.
You know, like, this is the problem. Like, nature has a good way of killing these people off. But modern medicine and people taking care of people like this keeps them alive, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas if we were back in like caveman days, the weak and the retarded and the people who would keep their baby in a car would be dead by now.
I didn't know the cavemen had cars back then.
The person that would do that.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
I just see him in the cave. He can't knock two rocks together, get fire, and Oonga gonna freeze.
Oonga, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He almost invented the cold shoulder. Almost.
Yep. That bit's over.
Oh. I thought I was doing a callback.
Right. A callback.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice.
So that's how it works.
Uh-huh.
I haven't been in a comedy game for long enough to.
You had a show the other night?
Yeah. Yeah. We talked about the Somerset show, outside show.
Yeah.
Got some time. It was a good show. About 200 people.
Yeah, it looks like a good show. I'm doing it in 20th or something, July 20th.
Nice.
But it looks like a.
Rocco puts on a great show out there. It was an awesome lineup. Jackie Byrne from the Verbal Shenanigans show, Rich and Joe, former guest Natty Bumper Cars.
Yep.
Who else was on? Randy Lupo, Molly Speduto. It was great lineup. It was a nice, friendly show. It's a kid-friendly. Well, I don't say kid-friendly, but it's, I would say probably PG, PG-13. You know what I mean? But crowd was very responsive, and it's a great night.
Yeah, that's a good spot to get. Like, I've been looking ever since last year, even the year before, those shows always look pretty fun.
There was a blast.
Venue, and that's pretty cool. But, yeah, that's cool.
So, yeah, silence is great on a podcast.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. Hmm. You ever have a song that just can't get out of your head?
The latest one I have in my head is the OJ Juice song I heard during the 30 for 30 of OJ.
I tried to get into the OJ thing. I couldn't really get into the first one.
It was pretty good. I mean, they were really in depth. I mean, the first episode they got into his life in the streets, and they kind of pictured how he was a very charismatic man, how he got away with stuff. They talked about how they had one story with his high school friend with Al Callings. They were shooting dice in the bathroom and the coach caught them, and they were begging with the coach, please coach, don't bring us to the principal's office. He's like, no, you can't be doing that, bring him to the principal's office. So the coach brings all three kids, one of them being OJ, into the office, and he's like, principal, I caught these kids shooting dice, so do what you have to do. Coach leaves the room. 1 minute in, OJ starts walking for the door. And the principal's like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, no, I was helping Coach Thompson, and these were the kids who were shooting dice and all. I got to get back to school. He got away with it.
Yeah, that's not the only thing he got away with.
Oh, yeah. That was episode 3.
Yeah. But they're all different films, right? Like, each one's a different...
Well, one is each piece of his life. So, the first part was him, growing up and going to college. Second part was the end of his pro career and getting into, film and stuff. The third part is the obvious Bronco chase and the trial. Getting, basically, the captured was episode 3. The 4 was the trial. And the 5th was all his life after the trial. And one of the things they brought up, he actually had a pay-per-view hidden camera show called You Got Juiced.
Oh.
And as part of it, he did a rap theme song for it.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't happen to have that rap theme song, do you?
I do.
Here, plug this in.
Yeah.
Plug that into your headphone jack. We can definitely listen to it. Yeah, so that was interesting.
Yeah.
My neighbor just came over and bought me outdoor furniture from an auction house. This is the second thing he's brought over that I can't use because I already have. I guess I told him last week, oh, do they have outdoor furniture? He goes to the auction. He's like, yeah, that's probably there all the time. I didn't know that meant that he was going to buy it for me. I mean, he spent $1 on it, so I don't feel that bad. It's super nice, though. I feel bad, not taking it. You know, but I can't, place it.
We got more,
Don't start again, man.
Babe, we got more furniture for the living room.
It's outdoor and it's plastic furniture.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, back to what we're doing here. The Juice rap song.
Yep. This is O.J. Simpson, Get Juiced. Mm.
Murder, 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 murder every day.
I don't think God gave you that talent.
Why do people wonder about my intentions? Why do people ask me so many questions about
me? Wait. Stop him. Was his first line, why do people wonder about my intentions?
Yes.
Hmm. I can't think of any reason.
Not one scenario. Maybe not even two scenarios.
Murder, 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 murder every day. Cutting Nicole's neck off of her.
If I did it.
Stabbing Ron Goldman. Stabbing Nicole. Putting a big ass hole in her neck. Yeah. Oh my God! I'm not a Simpson named Bart. Wow. Oh man.
Keep going.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Silly baboon, like a tiger in the state of monsoon. Can't you see the only way I live my life is large, and I got the most games with 200 plus yards. Oh.
Not anymore.
This goes right along with those bad songs from the teams we were listening to. Second verse.
I think pretty much the rest of the way they just
wow.
Need this.
What? But that was for a TV show?
Yeah, he did a pay-per-view called Juiced where he tried to make it look like it was like a hidden camera
show.
Like,
you just got juiced!
Exactly. Oh, like, he would have people on them when they... he'd be like, you see that van over there? There's a camera in there. There's a camera in there. You just got juiced.
Like Punk?
Exactly.
Oh, my God. I feel like it'd be even funnier if he just, like, you know, like, took your daughter and, like, murdered her. He's like, you just got juiced, son!
I think one of them was there were a couple ones I remember. One was he was trying to sell a white Bronco and they put a bullet hole in it and he was showing that off.
What?
And the other one was he got into makeup and he was in white face and he was like playing pranks in a bingo hall.
This was post his trial?
Yeah. This was basically he moved to Florida. Cheaper rates. Plus, he was basically doing stuff where he would make money, but they would basically put it in a fake hedge fund or company, and then circle it back to him, money laundering. And one of the things he did was a pay per view special called O.J. Simpson Juice.
Wow. Well, what did it cost for them for viewers to buy?
I think it was somewhere in the range of like $29.95. I mean, I had a legal box back then, so.
So you remember this?
No, OJ's out there.
Think the neighbor called Fish again. Yeah, that would be funny if he just murdered people. Like, you got juice.
Juice. Oh, you crazy, OJ. I can't believe it. Is this going to be on TV?
We didn't really like her anyway. But, yeah, a lot of things about him are weird. Like, you can tell there's definitely some weird, you know, like, social things with him where he just, I don't know, like, he was just such a... promoter of himself and like didn't feel like any, I don't know.
Well, that's what I liked about like the fifth episode when they're talking about his life afterwards. They discuss how he had his agent, and his agent pretty much said he got to the point where he's like, well, they all think I'm a murderer anyway, so I might as well do whatever I want. So that's why he was doing he was doing all the different things. He was doing the pay-per-view special. He was doing the rap album. Then he went to Las Vegas. He had the same attitude, and that's when he got kind of caught up with the whole guy who's saying, oh, I know this guy who has some of your old stuff, and that's when they got him.
People always asking me what my intentions are.
Murder.
Murder was the word that I mentioned. Slicing and dicing. The juice killed the Jews. wow. I can't get the Hall & Oates song out of my head the last week. This one. I just can't get it out of my head. And it's funny, today I go to Dunkin' Donuts, and as I walk in, this is playing.
That's like the classic song in every like white person romantic comedy to 2005.
Yeah. Just got my dad tickets to go see Hall & Oates this summer. I guess they're back
together.
They're
still touring.
They're back.
Because I remember a story where Hall, I think Oates bit Hall's nose off or something like that.
You got to look that up. Remember Always Sunny? You know, there's Hall & Oates. No, Charlie, it's Hall & Oates. No, Hall & Oates. He was a dude. Let's see. Yeah, they're back. Simon & Garfunkel are touring. Guns N' Roses are touring.
Yeah, arrest made after Oates bites Hall's face. December 13, 2012.
This is how it went down.
I'm getting...
Hey, Daryl.
As you can see, there's a picture of him with a bloody mouth right now. That's a mugshot of Roger Oates. Hall & Oates got into a bloody confrontation that ended with Hall getting bit in the face and Oates landing in jail, according to police. Only it wasn't that Hall & Oates.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's not them.
Okay, sheriff's deputy were called to the Berlin, Ohio home of Scott Hall after he called... Oh, okay, it's not... That'd been epic. We made up, everybody. It's like, he's a man eater.
Literally. Your nose. You got clickbaited real bad on that story. Hall & Oates. Oh my God. Oh my God.
You just got juice, Berlin.
You just got oats. Yeah, Friday I went to a concert. I was supposed to go see At the Drive-In. They haven't been together in like 15 years. And all during the week, I'm making jokes like with my buddy. I'm like, yeah, we better see him now because they're probably going to break up after this again anyway. Because they always like fought and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So we go to the show in the city, and you know how I love going to the city.
Mm-hmm.
I go there, and doors open at 7, so we're like, let's get there at 8:30. We're walking up towards the show, and like people are walking out like, oh, show's canceled. We thought they were just being dicks. We go there, and sure enough, the show is canceled. A sold-out show. The guy said he had a vocal cord something or other, and the show was canceled. Meanwhile, the doors were open. They were selling merch. Now, bro, if you lost your voice, you knew at noon that day or the day before where you could have tweeted and sent out messages, the show was canceled.
It wasn't like each 5 minutes, all right, let me warm up.
Yeah, and it's like, it's just so ridiculous. Like, they knew, you know, so they put a post up on Facebook at 7:50, meaning the doors are open for an hour. So me and my friend Ross, we basically... went to the city, like, had two beers. It was in a shitty part of the city in the worst venue ever, Terminal 5. And then just came back home. It sucked, man.
Oh, that's terrible, man.
Stupid. But, yeah, I guess we're getting to the end here. Unless you got something else.
No, I think we're pretty set. I got my OJ and guys throwing babies into the fridge.
Yeah, yeah. And thank you for your expertise tonight.
Well,
on,
you know, we've been talking about it for a while. I'm just glad I can educate our listening audience.
Yeah, you know, you are reliable with that. You are reliable. Berlo, anything to promote?
I will promote my guest spot at Scotty's Comedy Cove, July 8th. Headliner is George Gallo. Also featuring Terry McNeely, and AMC is Terry Dombrowski. If you'd like to reserve your seats, you can go to their website, www.scottysteakhouse.com.
All right, and I will promote two things, the July 6th and 7th. The 6th, I'm hosting at the Oak Barrel in West Orange, which is Rich McDonald's room. Always a good time there. And then the 7th is the second Verbal Shenanigans trivia, comedy trivia night at Hoover's in Morris Plains. It's a fun night. You know, we give out actual prizes and whatnot, and come on down. It's good to be back. Our next cast should be live. Well, not live, but it should be from Manskirt Brewing up in Hackettstown. So I'm looking forward to that. And please leave us a review on iTunes, or if you have any cool guests, or if you even want to be on the show, let us know. Life is funny. Laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back.